It's lit back up.
It's lit back up. Well, that's okay. So am I. And if you're not going through life lit, you're not going through life. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I think that out loud? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of, you got it, Political QRN.
Sitting here staring at me.
What?
Did I miss something?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, that's Barry, our producer. Say hello, Barry.
Hi. I'm sorry. You caught Anne Marie by surprise.
What the hell are you doing? What? I'm looking at him on. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get my lovely, beautiful, charming wife's attention because I could, you know, I could use a certain amount of attention in here. So, and I'm trying to do it without alerting the audience. Thank you very much, Anne-Marie, for blowing that out of the water. But anyway. Back to where we, not where we left off, because that's obviously blown out of idea. Will you stop? Oh, man.
Okay.
I'll put this out as a mini PQR.
That'll work. Listen, so we were in the break, boys and girls. We were discussing the fact that the United Kingdom in June is going to vote by referendum to free itself of the mortal coil of the EU.
And about
time. Trust me, you want to talk about shuffling off a mortal coil, the dead body, the dead cadaver, the useless mortal remains of the EU.
You know, I predicted that wouldn't last more than 20 years. I really did. When it went into effect, I said it's not going to last. I'd give it 20 years.
You're so much better than I am at this kind of thing. I never expected it to take in the first place.
Okay,
I
thought there you it was. Go.
But when it comes right down to it, 20 years versus my opinion that it was never going to take place in the first place.
Yeah, okay.
You know, 20 years was still awfully generous.
Yeah.
It was still awfully generous. I just don't understand. Look.
Yeah.
Help me out. You've got a better grip on foreign policy. You know, my domestic policy is not too bad, but your foreign policy is much better.
Okay.
Help me out on what the hell was the big idea in the first damn place?
They wanted to create they wanted it to be like the United States, where we have all these states and united under one currency and one government, basically. But the thing is that with Europe, every single country, don't forget, has an ethnic tradition, different customs. You know, the culture is different in every single country, whereas everybody comes to America and becomes American. You know, this way it used to be.
Yeah.
But right now, everything that's going on in Europe with the EU... And you have, you know, you have like the refugee people coming in. Sure, Merkel, said that's okay. But don't forget, it was under the auspices of the EU and the open borders crap.
It was under Merkel and Schmidt and people like that that the EU was even created.
Right.
And, you know, if it wasn't for Angela Merkel, the EU would have faded out long ago.
That's right.
And as far as that's concerned, look, we have our own cultural identity here and there and along, you know, because don't forget, we got in New Jersey, we got Taylor Ham, and in the deep South, we got banjos. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, these things are, you know, So we faced that same sort of a thing, but we fought, you know, several million people to preserve our union. And, but that was okay because it was all here in one place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In Europe, those cultures and those ethnicities, mm-hmm. and ethnicities, and we're talking about races here, you know, from the steppes of Russia to the, you know, the very, you know, Welsh and, right. and Irish and the Picts and the Scots and the Franks and the Celts and the, these are different ethnic, these are different, almost just stopping short of saying different races. These are different ethno-cultural, divisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same thing as saying, you know, versus, you know, Metallica.
Right.
We're in an entirely different set of, you know, a whole different, you know, cauldron full of paradigms. So the fact that it lasted as long as it did, you know, had nothing to do but more than the same thing we're facing here in this day and age with the liberals versus the, you know, the rest of us. You know, everybody's saying, okay, you know what, Greece, you know what, Portugal, you know what, you know, we're going to take care of you. We're going to absorb your debt. You know, it's costing us a fortune and we're taking on all these refugees, but we're going to make it work. And, you know, England has turned around and said, no, we're not.
Well, there's still, excuse me, great majority of the politicians that do want to stay with the EU. Cameron's one of them. You know, I just don't, I don't know. I don't
Cameron
know.
Could carry Thatcher's milk if it was sour.
Oh gosh, no. No, you're right on that point. No, the thing is that, you know, people have had it. Really, people have had it.
I have people in England. I have people in Scotland. I have people in Ireland. And some of whom, you know, even listen or at least read some of the stuff we write here. You know, by the way, they think you're the shit. You know, the people that, you know, read and listen. These people say, you know what, we've had it. You know, the Scots say, we've had it with England. And the English say, we've had it with the EU.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we're doing what we can. And you know, we've got, you know, I mean, people talk about whether or not it's true that you can walk through Dearborn, Michigan, you know, or whether or not it's true that you can walk through downtown Patterson or whether or not. But there are no walkie zones in England.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people in England, and I'm not saying they're any more in touch with their history than we are with ours. You know, absolutely, whether they are, they aren't. You know, but don't forget their history is a lot longer than ours.
True.
That, you know, these people who live on some of these landed places and stuff that go back to, you know, 1066 and before,
mm-hmm.
realize the fact that Englishmen have gone to the Holy Land and killed and been killed. Okay, granted, it was a religious thing. It wasn't really a let's, you know, it wasn't, you know, a football thing. It was a religious thing. But, you know, that's it. Well, you know, like George Carlin said, let's take their land, you know, yep. you know, 1 yard at a time. So when you look at it and they say, we've got these people coming here, and we've had these people coming here for 40 years, and now we can't walk down the street. And I'm not talking about just girls in miniskirts. We're talking about, you know, regular, ordinary people going down the street, going to and from the, you know, whatever, I don't know, Tesco, I guess is their big supermarket brand.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get from point A to point B. And then the A5 and on the M1 and stuff, they can't get from point A to point B in Kent because, you know, the crossings from Calais are jammed with widows and orphans.
Okay. Well, don't forget the thing that Great Britain did, which basically is the cause of their undoing, is that there was the British Empire. And any country that you know, they conquered India, you know, places in Africa and stuff like that. If you were a citizen of those countries, you were automatically a citizen of the British Empire, which means that you can go to Great Britain and reside there as a member of the British Empire. That's one of the reasons for this problem that they're having.
I'm not sure that's true. Because, you know what?
Why do you think there are so many Indians in Great Britain?
Rome did the
Pakistan,
same thing.
I mean, come on.
Rome did the same thing. If they came into your neighborhood and you said, you know what, this isn't such a bad idea, you became a citizen of Rome. And that is not what led to the downfall of Rome. You know,
I'm saying that this is a contributing factor.
Her Majesty still has a Gurkha guard.
Yeah.
And those people, believe me, I've met Gurkhas. Ain't nobody standing there with a, you know, that refuses to smile outside of Piccadilly that's going to defend Her Majesty the way the Gurkha will defend Her Majesty. All right. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that they didn't rescind that for areas where they should have oughta.
Right.
Like Afghanistan, yeah. You know, like the various and sundry African republics, you know, Zimbabwe notably. I think I'd like to see the EU fall.
Oh, definitely.
If for no other reason than to just sit there and go,
oh, jeez.
Well, look, they tried to do what we tried to do 240-odd years ago, but we made it work. You know, everybody else tried it. Look, the French tried it. Did it work?
No.
Well, you know, technically, I guess it did, but it turned them into, well, the French. You know, the Spanish tried it. Did it work? Not particularly well, no. The Italians tried it, but at least the trains ran on time.
True.
You know, the Chinese tried it and they killed 10 million people. The Soviets tried it and they killed 10 million people. The Germans tried it and they killed 10 million people. And, you know, the Khmer Rouge tried it and they killed 18 million people. And the, you know, I mean, come on. Oh, yeah, by the way, all these wonderful socialist utopias have tried it and it didn't work out so well for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a kick. You know what? Anybody who supports Sanders, and that includes a niece of mine, I won't mention any names, Sedona. But.
Yeah.
If you really think that Bernie is the be all end all, sum total of the best thing that could happen in the United States of America, stop buying Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking about for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking go spend 6 months there. I'm not saying take your dad's money. I'm not saying take your federal grant money. I'm saying go down there. Just show up. Just show up and spend 6 months there.
Yeah.
And here you are in a wonderful, and speaking of which, it's not only a socialist utopia, people's workers' paradise, right?
That's true.
But it's an OPEC nation. A country with oil income and revenue.
Mm-hmm.
A country that shouldn't have a damn thing to worry about.
And there's not enough food. There's not enough bathroom tissue.
And when you decide you've had enough of cleaning yourself with pine needles or corn cobs.
Yeah.
And when you've had enough of throwing those corn cobs out the window and then going down to the same dump trying to find something to eat.
Yeah, it's really, it's not a good situation down there. It's not a good situation in Europe. If Great Britain decides, wants to leave and they can get enough votes, I'd say more power to them. Of course, then you have the EU governing body that would be very upset because all of a sudden... You know, they lose their control. And I can guarantee you that other countries are going to make attempts to leave the EU also.
You take that 10% out of their economy.
Yeah.
And you watch just how fast the Netherlands, Spain's in enough trouble. Portugal's in enough trouble. And forget Greece. Don't even want to talk about Greece.
I know.
You know, and Italy is
having problems.
Yeah, well, they're only hanging on because of the fact that England is still there, so there's enough money going around that isn't going to Greece.
Yes.
So once England's gone and that money that would be going to Greece ain't there anymore, Italy's going to sink.
Mm-hmm.
Sicily is toast.
Oh,
Sardinia is toast. Corsica is toast.
Okay, you have to take a look at what's going on there, what's going on here. And like it or not, America sort of sets the tone. It does. It sets the tone throughout the world economically.
Shouldn't it?
Indeed, it should. But we're weak right now, and Europe is in even more trouble. I think that our presidential...
Here we are, the EU and America facing the BRIC nations.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's not a good situation for us. It's really not, to say the least.
Let me ask you something, because you have a whole lot better grasp on foreign policy than I do.
Well,
why exactly is it that Kim Jong Dud is still breathing?
He actually, for China, he gives them a presence up against South Korea
and Japan. But like, we really couldn't just like, they couldn't wake up in the morning and he's like not there anymore.
Oh, that's not going to happen. Actually, there was a very interesting, documentary.
They just had that big photo op of him standing there with the tip of a nuclear arm.
I know.
Look, maybe they can get the bomb to work. And maybe they can get the missile to work. But they haven't been able to make either of them work reputably enough in a row to consider it as the only thing that I know for a fact that works is I know for a fact that their saber rattles fairly well.
Yeah, it does. Now,
but other than that, is there a reason we haven't, made sure he just didn't wake up one morning or woke up dead or whatever, other than the fact that, he's got a cool haircut?
No, it's China. China is backing them up on stuff. And
oh, I know they're backing them up. But
yeah, but, where do I start? Oh, boy.
What if his maid or I don't know, whatever, what do you call it? Glorious.
You would find if
or something,
if he
go in there and wake him up in the morning, he's like not there.
Well, the thing is that China would immediately, I think, take over. I don't think, as far as reunification with the South, I really don't think that would be possible. I really
Here's the thing. Let's just say that there's an alphabet soup agency somewhere. I'm not saying here in America. I'm just saying an alphabet soup agency somewhere that saw to it that when his glorious maid manservant, whatever, went to wake him up in the morning, he wasn't there.
Right. Okay.
Let's stipulate that. Okay. Now,
okay.
Let's back the clock up a few hours and say that when the idea was solidified that at 8 o'clock local time they went to wake him up, he wasn't going to be there. At 6:30 local time, a bunch of tanks with different attachments on them, like Mr. Popiel attachments on them, go and blow through all the minefields and all the concertina wire, just anything across the 38th parallel, and just blew that border wide open.
No, it's no.
And all of a sudden, he wasn't there and the border wasn't there. Do you think they could prevent reunification? Not so much reunification, but do you think they could?
China would be right there. China would be there.
With the exception of the people with those goofy looking hats they wear in the military.
China would be there if he...
Oh, they'd be there, but what if there was nobody there to have China be there for?
No. China would take it over. if something happened to Kim Jong-un,
and what, foul play,
hang on, huh?
Wait, they'd take over what, North Korea and both people that are still there after we blow the border open?
I don't know. Mm-mm. Because then I think China would probably lob a few at Seoul. I really do. It's It's more complicated. I'm going to tell you one thing. What you have to watch.
Why?
Listen to me. There is a documentary out called The Propaganda Game, and it's about North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this journalist from Spain who was given, access.
It's in my queue, but I don't have the English version.
No. It's got to be English. It's in English. It's either on Netflix or it's on Amazon. I just can't remember.
I'll look there because I have it in my YouTube queue.
Yeah, you got to look at that because. And what happened was is that you look at it and you go, and then you start noticing the discrepancies about what they're saying, what goes on, and the people. And they go into this hospital. Everything is pristine. And no phones are ringing. The nurses are sitting at the station.
It's all propaganda. Come on.
It's just, you have to watch this. But
we saw this out of the Soviet Union for years.
Yeah, but this is even more. This is just really weird. It really is.
I look at it like
it's
this.
It's like watching a very long episode of The Twilight Zone. It really is.
I look at it like this. I don't believe for a New York minute that Kim Jong-un could use a nuclear warhead to blow the fleas off a rat's ass at 200 paces.
I don't know. They did have a successful launch into the Sea of Japan. Yes, so Japan's really upset,
I can't blame them.
Yeah,
but I don't believe that by the time they put it all together that they could get any further than Honshu.
Okay, that's fine. But, we don't need something else blowing up. Huh? They did? Yeah. Oh, well.
They had to launch and put a satellite in space, I believe. I don't know how long it stayed.
24 minutes.
Yeah, but that means they've got enough.
One revolution they made.
Yeah, but that means they got enough power to get it over to the United States.
Yeah, but not for nothing, but the Soviets did that in 1956.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, everybody's got to start sometime.
Got to start someplace.
And here's my problem with the whole thing. Now, I we discussed Nancy Reagan in the last episode.
We have to wrap this up a bit. Yeah.
But if the Gipper had been allowed to put the SDI in place, none of this would be an issue.
Maybe.
No, I realize
somebody else would have taken it out.
I realize we went from the euro to SDI, but if the SDI had been allowed to be put in place,
let me put it to you this way: what Ronald Reagan did basically was he destroyed the Soviet Union. He, Margaret Thatcher, and to a certain extent Pope John Paul II. Okay, it was a concerted effort. The problem is, after Ronald Reagan, you had George H.W. Bush, who decided that, okay, the Soviet Union is gone in his mind, so let's kind of wind everything down and let's cut down our intelligence assets that deal with Russia. And that's what he did. Bill Clinton got in, and he basically decimated the intelligence community and sold a lot of our technology to China.
Hence
9/11.
Not just China.
Yeah, I know. But I'm using China because I know of specific things that he sold them, including our AWACS.
Yes.
Technology for AWACS. But anyway, actually, I think he sold them an AWAC or two. But when he got in, he basically started stripping things out of our intelligence community, said we couldn't use human intelligence.
That's all right. He started stripping stuff off interns, too.
And, true. He started all that. and basically cut down on our capabilities, where Ronald Reagan had raised it up to a level that it was, we were like a well-oiled machine.
HW is not harmless in this.
No, that's what I said. He cut it down also. But Bill Clinton...
I want to make sure it's reiterated enough that people listening don't let go of the fact that it was only a stop on the railroad train. No, HW was not harmless in this. And then Clinton came along and not only sold the technology, but also started the downturn in Zion.
Yes. And then, and I'll tell you, 9/11 occurred. And George W. Bush, and this really ticks me off. well, as you know, after 9/11, we had to build up our intelligence community. We needed more Arabic linguists. So what did GW do? Well, he decided he was going to hire a whole bunch of Muslims to go into the intelligence community. He didn't make sure that Arab-speaking Christians got in. No! So there you go. And then here we go with good old Obama. So, I mean, it's been a downward trend. I mean, like, granted, we got to go back. Jimmy Carter, when he got in, he completely cut the intelligence community, too. I went into the intelligence community. Yeah.
He did that after Camp David and only because...
No,
he did it before, but...
First 18 months of his administration.
Once he didn't get his Nobel Prize, he went freaking crazy.
Yeah.
He went nuts if he didn't get the Nobel Prize for the Camp David Accord.
Okay, so basically what we're talking about here over time is a complete breakdown in laws, in capabilities to keep despots at bay.
That's how we ended up with the first World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah, well.
And the coal.
Yeah.
And the Beirut attack.
But what's happening now is that you have the EU under, well, the EU, Europe, under a lot of pressure, not only from the invaders masking as refugees. You have their economies going downhill. You have the money being siphoned out of Europe and being sent to Africa, to everywhere else. You do not have a... As much as they wanted this all to be a great trading partner and to come in competition with the U.S., it hasn't happened. So basically, we're on the brink here.
I can offer two examples that if our listeners don't have time to research all this stuff. I'm saying if our listeners don't have time to research everything that's gone on in the world in the last 25 years, right? Let's just leave it at that. If they don't have time or the inclination, look up two things. Look up two administrations. The administrations of Juan Perón and the administration of Manuel Noriega.
Mm-hmm.
Look those two up, and the rest of it falls in place like dominoes double nine. Mm-hmm. If you can look at those and understand the multinational efforts, the diplomatic efforts, the economic efforts, you know, all these things as they took place between Juan Perón's administration and Noriega's administration, you will understand the way it plays on the world stage. And it doesn't matter whether it's Gaddafi, it doesn't matter whether it's Khomeini, it doesn't matter if it's Saddam Hussein, it doesn't matter if it's Assad, it doesn't matter who it is. If you look at those two examples of US/the world, you'll understand how either the United States or the EU plays on the world stage economically, politically. It's just that much easier to get it. Those are just two glaring examples of why you can't make this stuff up. It's two examples of why You have to turn around and say, okay, cut the loss.
Yep. 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 Okay.
Cut the loss. We look at these pictures coming out of Somalia and Ethiopia and Angola and, you know, Rwanda, and we see these pictures of these row after row after row of United Nations vehicles loaded right. with grain and loaded with, you know, Quonset huts and all these things, and there's rats and there's snakes and there's vines and there's, you know, monkeys and stuff, and the people are still starving. And you look at the fact that, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah and all these places are still aimed at Israel. There were four more rocket attacks today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. So this is just, you know, a continuation of, same stuff, different day. But we do have to go. We do have to cut this out.
Well, I just wanted to give it a bit of a break. Only because I didn't want to lose not just the chain of thought, because we did switch chain of thought. But my issue is that we have to take into consideration our listeners, and I appreciate every last one of them, whether they log on, whether they like and subscribe, whether they just in passing, whether they pick it up from a link, or whether they go directly to the site.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that we don't lose them, because, I mean, who the hell has 2 hours to sit and listen to
right.
us?
Yeah, okay. Well, guys, we'll be here, and we're going to be trying something new soon.
But, and I will be here, and I did put another Life Without Filters video together. Yes, they're unscripted. Yes, they're terrible. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, they're terribly amateurish and all that other stuff.
No, they're not.
I just call it the way I see it, and if I don't see it, I make it up.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's, you know, my essays, and of course your essays.
You know? If I can find the time to write one, I have about 20,000 ideas. And
I know, and I've got 24 saved that I haven't even tried to publish yet.
I'm gonna have to, you know, push myself to just do
same,
all this.
Same guinea time, same guinea channel. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry. Is that not politically correct?
What?
Same guinea time, same guinea channel.
Oh, for God's sake, here we go. All right, yeah.
You know, us New Jersey greasers, you know, what are you going to do? You know, whether we're Gala Braves or whether, you know, Gumbo Bassano, you know, whether we're Newark, whether we're Cliffside Park, whether we're, you know, Maine, whether we're New Hampshire, no matter where you are, no matter what you believe, we are above the noise, not part of it. And God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.